Good morning, brothers and sisters. We extend a warm welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us in worship either here in church or via the live stream. What a great blessing and privilege it is that we could come to church this morning to be in the presence of the Lord for worship. May we all be strengthened in faith by the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all be edified and may God be glorified by our worship this morning. The consistory has the following announcements. Arrived with attestation from the Freeform Church of Darling Downs, brother and sister Simon and Lisa Talagani, with their two baptised children, Sahila and Leas. We welcome this family into our midst. We also received an attestation from brother Bradley Visser, coming from the Freeform Church of Bunbury. We welcome this brother into our midst as well. An attestation has been requested by brother and sister Derek and Naomi Brown with their six baptised children. They will be leaving us for the Freeform Church of Armidale, and we wish them the Lord's blessings in their new congregation. We have been advised by Reverend H. Elkemar that he has declined the call which was extended to him by the Canadian Reformed Church of Chilliwack in British Columbia. Brother Brendan Richard Ashton and Sister Rebecca Nielcher-Jarian have indicated their intentions to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward by the 14th of March, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Friday the 26th of March at 2:30 p.m. in the packing shed in Bickley with Reverend Poppy officiating. And this morning we may welcome to the pulpit Reverend R. Akelbaum from the Freeform Church of Bunbury. And this afternoon we may welcome Reverend Pott from the Freeform Church of Bunbury and Reverend R. Akelbaum from the Freeform Church of Byford this afternoon. Before we commence, let us sing together from Psalm 24, verse 1.
Please rise and let us worship the Lord, our Maker. With the words of Psalm 124, we confess that we are dependent on the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The congregation received God's greeting to his church with the words of 1 Corinthians 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is fitting that we begin by giving our God praise, and also as we sing the words of Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, we'll also acknowledge that God is the one who heals illnesses. Our text today deals with the healing of someone who is sick. So we'll sing Psalm 103, the verses 1 and 2. Thank you. Psalm 103 has called us not to forget God's deeds of love and grace, and that he pardons our transgressions. And as he gives us his law, the Lord himself reminds us first of his deeds of love and grace in rescuing us from sin through our Saviour Jesus Christ. We listen to God's law from Deuteronomy 5, where the Lord addresses us with these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let us now respond to God's law, also confess our need for forgiveness of our transgressions, praying that the Lord would wash us and clean us, and doing so in confidence that he does through Christ our Lord. Psalm 51, verses 2 and 3.
Thank you.
Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you are worthy of praise from every mouth, every tongue, every creature, for you are the one in whom all things consist. You have created all things for your glory. And Father, to proclaim your glory, to serve you, is particularly the responsibility of human beings. You have given us minds with which we can think and understand and learn, tongues with which we can confess, so that we may live our lives for you. Knowing you is true joy. And so we give thanks to you and praise you for your great glory and your love. But Father, we also in humility recognize that often we do not pursue your glory. And so we also humble ourselves together with your servant David, writer of Psalm 51. And we also acknowledge, Heavenly Father, our need for cleansing. And so with him, it is our prayer too that you will wash and fully clean us, that you would forgive the sins of our present, the sins of our past, the sins of our body, the sins of our minds, the sins where we have acted purely to please ourselves, or the sins where we've acted purely to please others, and where we haven't focused on pleasing you. Forgive us our willful sins. Forgive us our casual sins. Forgive us even our sins done in ignorance. For Father, we recognize it is all wrong and we have no excuse. Father, we simply plead that you look upon us through Christ, that you wash us with his blood, but also that you would fill us with assurance and with confidence that when we look to you through him, we are clean and we are yours, and nothing can separate us from your love for us in him. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we approach the study of your holy word, your spirit would rest upon us, making that word a living message to our souls, that it would encourage us and comfort us with that gospel truth. Cause us, Father, not to hide our sins. Help us to be unafraid, to have them laid out before you in the confidence that our sins are fully covered with the work of our Savior. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we worship you, that you would help us to do so, not merely with our lips and outwardly, but that you would help us to honor you with our hearts and with our minds, and grant that when our worship is ended, we may continue to glorify you in our lives, and to the praise of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us take our Bibles as we open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 8. And as our scripture reading, we'll read the verses 1 through 17. This passage follows the Sermon on the Mount and concerns the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8. Hear the word of God. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." Thus far, our scripture reading. Let us now sing in response to the word of God from Psalm 30. This psalm, from its title and content, appears to have been written when the author had been healed from a disease by the Lord, and so he expresses his thanksgiving to God. Psalm 30, we'll sing the verses 1 and 2. Give our attention to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, the verses 1 to 4. when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And then we'll particularly focus on verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, see that you say no one to anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. In response to the proclamation of God's word, we'll sing from a hymn based on Isaiah 53, which speaks about how our Savior bore our sufferings and infirmities. Hymn 25, verses 1 and 3. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, around the year 1347, a pandemic began sweeping across Europe. It was the bubonic plague, and today we call it the Black Death. And over a period of about 4 years, it's estimated that over 100 million people died. And historians estimate that between a third and half the entire population of Europe was wiped out. Many of us may have studied the Black Death in school. Events like this seem very distant to us until the past year. Because we are starting to see and hear about figures which are staggering and which we haven't witnessed in recent history. Last Monday, it was announced that the United States, that more than 500,000 people have now died as a result of COVID. And the total number of cases in the United States that they've had is starting to head towards 30 million people. And when we think about how helpless we are and can feel and the implications of this, then all of a sudden the passages in Scripture where we read about the healing and ministry of the Lord Jesus really come to life for us. Because when we read our text in this passage here in Matthew chapter 8, then we almost can start feeling a little jealous of the Jews. The Jews who are there when Jesus is doing his ministry. Because no matter what disease or sickness they had, none was a problem for Jesus. There's a leper. He heals. There's a paralyzed man, suffering terribly, he's healed. There's a woman with fever, he's healed. And verse 16 sums it up where it says that he healed all who were sick. Now suppose, all who were sick, suppose that there was a doctor today who could do that. And if that doctor was here today, you can imagine church would be absolutely full. The parking lot would be full. There would be people parked up and down the road. If news got out, every sickness healed. Not a vaccine. Not just relief. Not just one sickness. Every sickness. Not just COVID, but cancer. There are members here who've had cancer or continue to have to struggle with it or have concerns about it. Heart issues. I saw someone with crutches. Others of you may have had surgery or ongoing health problems or loved ones who do. Imagine a healer who heals it all. Well, brothers and sisters, that isn't happening this morning. And the message of the gospel isn't that there's a healer who is going to come today and heal all diseases. But that is not disappointing news, because the news that I may bring as an ambassador of Christ is better. The news that ambassadors of Christ may bring is that we have a healer. A healer who doesn't just give a temporary cure. All these people later died. That we have a healer who gives an eternal cure. A healer who will one day give us new bodies. A healer who delivers us from our sin. And that is what our text this morning is really about. I proclaim it to you with this theme. In healing the leper, Christ restores blessing by taking on himself his people's curse. And we'll hear, firstly, how the curse of death is real. Secondly, the curse of death is removed. And thirdly, the curse of death is replaced. So in healing the leper, Christ restores blessing to his people by taking upon himself his people's curse. Firstly, we hear how this curse is real. Now, the specific sickness that afflicted the man that our text deals with this morning is leprosy. And so the events here are described quite simply. He comes to Jesus. He kneels before Jesus. He asks for healing. Jesus touches him. Jesus cures him. And we could stop there. Be a very short sermon. But the beauty of the Word of God is that when we dig deeper and when we start making connections with other places in Scripture, we start uncovering all kinds of wonderful, shining treasures of gospel. It already is amazing, it shines brightly, but the more you dig, the more wonderful it gets. Now, there are many aspects that we could focus on here in this miracle. We could dwell on the man's faith. What does he say? We could dwell on the man's response. In fact, in one of the parallel passages, Mark, we read here Jesus, how Jesus tells him that he shouldn't go and tell other people about what's happened to him. The man doesn't listen. And it goes into detail about that. Matthew doesn't mention that. Because the focus here is not, first of all, on what the man does. Rather, the focus is, what does Jesus do? And that's why we want to zoom in, especially on verse 3, as a window to this passage. Because what Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is doing is he is putting the spotlight on Jesus Christ and what he is doing as the great healer. First, verses 1 through 4, this man with leprosy. Then verses 5 through 13, this servant of a centurion is paralyzed. Then verse 14 and 15, the mother-in-law of Peter has got fever. And then culminating verse 16, that general statement, he healed all who were sick. And that then is followed with a reference to a prophecy from Isaiah, prophecy that we'll later be seeing rhyme version of with hymn 25, the prophecy of Isaiah that Jesus is fulfilling. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. That's a very important verse, and it means that we need to also be reading these earlier verses with that in mind. Jesus is taking our illnesses, bearing our diseases. So with that in mind is the broader context, we're now equipped then to look more specifically at the leper. Question one. Why a leper? Well, you might say, all kinds of sick people came to Jesus. They had all kinds of problems. One happened to have leprosy. And, of course, that's true. But if all kinds of sick people came to Jesus, that means that people came to him. with cancer, with heart problems, with back problems, with arthritis. And they were healed as well. It's not as if leprosy was somehow harder for Jesus to heal. No matter what illness someone had, Jesus could heal. He is God. But by specifically telling us about the leper and what happens in connection with him, the Lord is revealing something specific about our Savior. And that's why we need to ask ourselves, what is so special about a leper? So special that Jesus not just heals him, but it is recorded for us. Of the crowds of people healed that day, and there would have been many crowds who were healed, why are we told about this leper? Well, to answer that, we need to remember that this is not the only place in the Bible that the Lord tells us about leprosy. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Lord gave detailed instructions about how you had to deal with someone who was a leper. And so we need to consider what those instructions were to understand what's happening here. Now, when you think of leprosy, most of us, what comes to the mind for most of us is perhaps the idea of some horrible skin disease where your flesh begins to eat away and your body becomes disfigured and ugly. Now, certainly there are diseases like that. In fact, it was one of the symptoms of the Black Death, is that as a result of bubonic plague there would be this horrible disfiguring of parts of the body, and things would swell and smell and turn black. But what about leprosy? Well, leprosy, I'm told today that leprosy medically is a classification for something that's called Hansen's disease. But to understand our text, we can't Google or turn to a medical encyclopedia just to look up Hansen's disease and find out what that's about and know exactly what this man had. Because in the Bible, the term, the word leprosy, seems to be a broader word. And it refers not just specifically to Hansen's disease, but this variety of skin diseases. So leprosy, or Hansen's disease, is one of these skin diseases, but it's not the only one. What's more, those Old Testament instructions don't really focus on how horrible it is, what it looks like, but they focus more just on that it's a skin disease with recognizable symptoms. Now, we read about these symptoms and what was involved in Leviticus 13 and 14, and I invite you to take your Bibles and we'll look at parts of that. There's two chapters here, Leviticus 13 and 14, and these are long chapters. They're almost 60 verses each. We won't read them all. But they give detailed instructions about how you were to identify the disease, these skin diseases, and what you had to do. So we'll look at chapter 13, starting at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests. Now, some of you may have a little footnote on that word leprous disease, and in my Bible at least that footnote says leprosy was a term for several skin diseases. Translators have added that just to make us aware that that is what the Hebrew word is referring to. So that does already mean that our leper friend from Matthew 8, he fits into this category. He is a leper. He has one of these skin diseases. We read on, verse 3, what happens when they go to the priest. Verse 3, the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area is turned white and this disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. Now here we need to reflect on what is the Lord really telling his people. Is the focus on how terrible things look? Actually, the focus isn't on medical things. Not here. It's on spiritual things. If you have, in the Old Testament, a suspected case of one of these skin diseases, where do you need to go? Not to the doctor. You go to the priest. You go to God's servant. That's a bit like saying today, oh, I'm getting symptoms here, which might be some rash, or to put it in today's term, I'm starting to see some of the symptoms of the coronavirus. But then instead of saying, let me go to the clinic and get tested, you say, I better call my ward. And you tell me what I need to do next. I imagine not too many elders are qualified to deal with medical issues. But they are qualified to deal with spiritual issues. And that's the role of the priest. He doesn't put on a white coat and start doing medical things. His role isn't, first of all, medical, but spiritual. Because what does the priest need to do if it is one of these skin diseases in the category described here as leprosy? It says the priest shall pronounce him unclean. And if he doesn't have it, then the priest pronounces him clean. No mention of medicine and go and take some herbs or get an injection, take wild grass instead. They need to do things like washing their clothes. And even these washings are not for medical reasons, first of all, but it is a ceremonial activity. And that's really what this is all about. The real concern for the leper is not just he is a sick man. No, the real concern for the leper is he is unclean. And that is why, if you consider what it is that the leper asks Jesus, he doesn't say, Lord, make me better. The leper says in Matthew 8, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. It's no accident that word is used. Behind it is this whole Old Testament background. Because if you are unclean, this has got spiritual consequences. You are not allowed to go to the tabernacle, later the temple. In other words, you're not allowed to go to church. The place where you received visible confirmation that you were part of the people of God and God was with you. If you're a leper, you're unclean. The doors are closed. You can't be part of it. It's not a lockdown, it's a lockout. And in this way, what the Lord is doing is he is teaching his people something. Not, first of all, the horror of having a skin disease. There may have been people in the Old Testament who had far worse medical conditions. But the Lord uses this to teach his people then something of how horrible it is to be separated from him. You could say that this was a visible lesson of the first part of the catechism. Knowledge of how great sin and misery is. How horrible the effects of sin are. Not that leprosy was somehow connected with a particular sin, but rather the Lord was using this to teach his people something about sin and its consequences. What does sin do? It puts you outside communion with God, and it separates, it distances. Not social distancing, but spiritual distancing. And sin puts you outside of God. It puts you in a place of death, away from life. And the leper was a visible picture of that. That's why if we turn back to Leviticus 13, we read in verse 45 and 46 what the leper has to do. Verse 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip. See, they wore masks in the Old Testament. You wore masks a few weeks ago. The leper had to cover his unclean, his upper lip, wear a mask, a visible indication something is wrong. And to confirm this, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And that's how it stayed, as long as he has this disease and the infection remains. He shall live alone. He's unclean. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Does this sound familiar? This sounds like quarantine, doesn't it? That's what happens here. Wearing masks, being isolated, enforced quarantine, social distancing. And the indications that this person had to demonstrate visibly all showed something horrible. Torn clothes, hair hanging loose. These are rituals associated with mourning. When do you mourn? You mourn when someone dies. That's what the leper is a picture of. Death. And the worst of all for the leper, being unclean meant living outside the camp. See, there were other kinds of unclean in the Old Testament where you could stay at home. But being a leper was the ultimate uncleanness. You didn't just stay at home. No, you were cast outside the people of God. In the past week, I came across an article by a Canadian journalist, and it described the horror of the lockdown that it was having, particularly on residents in aged care. In Canada, the lockdown has been significantly more serious than what we've had to experience here. And this journalist then gave an account of how horrible it was for many of these old people. They're in aged care. Their family can't even visit them for weeks on end. Well, that is something of the horror that this leper in the Old Testament experiences. He's not just locked down, he's locked out. And he is outside the place where he experiences the presence of God. This is worse than social distancing. This is spiritual distancing. It is spiritual quarantine. That's the real horror that's going on here and that the leper of Matthew 8 understands. Lord, make me clean. His concern is a spiritual one. Now today, how many people, when in light of the pandemic in our world in general, how many people are asking spiritual questions? That's not the kind of thing our world does today. We're driving to Perth yesterday. I listened to a documentary about the Black Death, and the author was a man called John Hatcher. He's some esteemed scholar about the Middle Ages. To my knowledge, he's not a Christian. But he pointed out that when the Black Death hit, the most important question that a lot of people were asking was faith-related, spiritual. The question on the minds of the people was, will the Black Death hit us? Will God allow this? And when it did, their question was, why is God doing this? And they would go to their priests. And the priests often had no answers. Why are my children dying? Why is my husband dying? And When someone would die, often there was no one to visit them. People would just leave them to die and flee and put food beside their bed. And so even many people spent their last days alone, and perhaps worse, unvisited by priests. And see, in the mind of the medieval folk, the key question was, what did you do in your last moments? And normally you would call for the priest just before someone died so you could make your last confession. But people who had the Black Death, the plague, were often so quickly overcome, their family would often disappear, the priest wouldn't come, and so people would die without making this confession. And so that was very much in the minds of the people. Where is my husband, my children now? Are they in hell? Now, I will say, isn't having any kind of faith response to a pandemic and the response to the pandemic in the Middle Ages was obviously flawed because it was flawed Roman Catholic theology. But do we still ask spiritual questions? Is that the thing that is most important to us? Do we consider our relationship with God also when we get other illnesses or diseases? Do we understand that a far bigger problem than to have COVID hit or to have a bigger impact in our own country, a far bigger problem is than being diagnosed with COVID is to be diagnosed with sin? Do we think about the horror of sin and what it does? Do we minimize sin? Do we see ourselves by nature, apart from the grace of God? Do we realize that by nature we are spiritual lepers? And are we going to say, oh, it's not a big deal? God says it is a huge deal. And leprosy, the whole point of leprosy and the rules around it, are to picture this horror of the curse of sin. That's what the leper experiences. And that's what Jesus now removes. That's our second point. The curse of death is removed. Because now as we keep travelling through Matthew 8, we read in verse 2 that this leper comes to him. Now, having had to go through various precautions in the middle of a pandemic, we realise what a drastic thing this man is doing. This is incredibly daring. He is supposed to be away from people. He shouldn't be coming near people. Imagine that we knew someone from our own community had the coronavirus. We would keep our distance. Imagine we saw them coming down the aisle, going at our pew, stopping, moving, and sitting next to us. This man should not be coming near other people. But his focus is Jesus. He kneels before him. And then what does he say? Not, Lord, make me better, but Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. His concern isn't, first of all, the physical, the medical. The words he used show that he understands the spiritual, the implication of having leprosy. What he really wants isn't just the leprosy gone, but he wants to be clean. He wants to be part of the people of God. He wants to be part of those who go to the temple. And what does Jesus do? He does what we would consider to be the unthinkable. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. Now this is staggering. Again, bear in mind, if someone has an infectious disease, you want them to stay away. You're not going to go up to them and touch them. Particularly in the Old Testament, there were very specific laws about being unclean is transferable. So, if you're unclean, you touch people, now they're unclean. You're unclean, you touch a chair, the chair is unclean. But it doesn't work the other way around, right? If someone's clean and they touch someone who's unclean, the unclean person doesn't become clean. That's not how it works. No, now you're both unclean. That's how diseases would spread, and that too is a picture of how sin spreads. And so here we see our Saviour. He again is the focus. See what he does. The unthinkable. He stretches out his hand. A very conscious, deliberate act. He touches him. Here is deliberate bodily contact. And now the laws of the Old Testament apply. Jesus, by Old Testament law, now is unclean. And he doesn't become unclean by accident. It's very clear that our Savior, by this act, is taking on this uncleanness. And that's why Matthew, at the end of this section, rightly quotes from Isaiah, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. What happens to our Savior is not some accident. No, he voluntarily takes on human nature. He comes to earth. He comes in his grace and his love, and he touches sinners. That's the significance of this touch. This is the ultimate pastoral touch. This is not just a gentle squeeze of the shoulder or the hand. This is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who's now taking the place of his sheep, who transfers their sins to his, who says, I will take their place and I will die so they can live. Jesus, at this moment, knows where he will end up. Coming up is Good Friday, Easter. Jesus knows that he is on the road to the cross, and what he would do there would pay for the sins of the spiritually unclean. And he's not naive. This doesn't happen by mistake. No, he sees the sin. He understands the horror. He knows the uncleanness. He sees all that is filthy about you and me, spiritually. And yet he comes outside the camp to us. He takes our place. Congregation, imagine that was possible for someone who has the coronavirus. They're locked down. They're isolated, they quarantine, and imagine someone could come. Imagine that was you, you're locked down, you've got the disease, no one can see you, and someone comes and it was possible for them to touch you, to then take your place, and you are healed and you go. Well, that's the gospel message. The gospel message of Scripture is even more wonderful than that. Because as sinners, we don't deserve to be in God's presence. Can I expect God to accept me on the day he takes me to be with him? No, not in myself. God knows that. God knows all my sins. He knows my heart, my life. And yet, God's own Son comes, makes himself unclean so that I and all believers can be clean, that we can live our lives in the knowledge that our uncleanness is transferred to him. And when we believe in him and receive him through faith, heaven is now open. The doors are not shut. Rather, heaven is open. Here is a joy far greater than the end of lockdown. Enter, says our God. Now the consequences of this act for Jesus, his coming for sinners, are tremendous. He's going to have to go to the cross. He, on the cross, is going to be the great leaven. It's no coincidence. The Bible specifically highlights the fact that where Jesus suffers and dies, he is outside the camp. In fact, Hebrews specifically makes reference to that. On the cross, we see Jesus with the horror of our sins piled on him. Effectively, God himself is saying, unclean. Why are you forsaking me, says Jesus. That cry is showing that he is being shut out, locked out of the presence of God. He is forsaken. He's experiencing, in a way we can't even imagine, death and darkness and forsakenness. Why? So that we would be rescued from it. Brothers and sisters, that is the joy of the gospel for us today. And it has implications for us. We can be so thankful that today God gives us the true gospel, that we do not have to live like those in medieval times where the black death came upon them and so many were terrified. They wondered, if I didn't get that last confession in, then maybe I'm going to hell. Have I done enough? The gospel of Christ is that it's Jesus who does it all. And when you believe in him, when you hear the gospel and it's proclaimed again today, when you repent of sin, when you don't hide sin, you don't try to cover up sin, when you believe in him, your sins are forgiven and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not now, not ever. It's not just about that last moment and whether or not you make a final confession to the priest. You know, it's by faith. It's for now, it's forever. How wonderful it is, brothers and sisters, that we have a Savior who would graciously do this for us. Oh, there are moments we may feel really unworthy. Moments we feel guilty. Maybe we feel racked with guilt over sin. But that's why this is such good news. That our Savior would come and have mercy on sinners. And that he would make black sheep white and embrace us and care for us and love us simply by grace alone. And so as a result, the curse of death is not just removed, it's replaced. And that's our final point. Because the leper doesn't just have death taken away. Oh no, he now gets life. Where does he need to go? Jesus says, go to the priest. First place he has to go. Not to his family, not to his friends, the temple. He could be very assured that yes, death is gone. He could, through God's ambassador, hear the good news. You are clean. Death is gone. Congregation, the message that you hear today is that message through Christ's ambassador. And that's why the message you hear today is better than news about the vaccine for COVID, healing for COVID, or cancer, or heart problems, or whatever it might be. The news we get is better than that. There are still sicknesses today, and there are many here who have ongoing sicknesses, some of them very serious. Or you may have loved ones who have serious sicknesses. Maybe skin diseases, maybe far worse. And the pandemic still goes on. We hope it won't come in the same way as it is doing in other parts of the world here, but it might. But whatever happens to us, if we live, if we die, we belong to Christ. And that means when illnesses and sicknesses come, God is not bringing them on us to punish us for a specific sin. If we look to the cross, that's where we see the anger of God. Oh yes, it's true. God can work through illnesses, and he's molding us, and he can chastise us. It's not for us to fathom the mind of God and answer exactly what he's doing. We leave that to him. We know he's wise and he's good and he's just and he's merciful. But what we do know is when we look to Christ, when we experience through the gospel his touch, we are clean. And even if it is our lot to be sick, we experience illness, disease, even death as those who are washed clean, as children of God, as those who are not experiencing the displeasure of God. No, because the displeasure of God was laid in full on the cross on his own son. God is instead dealing with us in a way we don't deserve, in love, in a way we might not understand, but in love and in grace. And that's why when you're sick, brothers and sisters, you don't today have to call the office bearers to have them make a pronouncement. Are you clean? Are you unclean? Can you go to church on Sunday? Yes or no? No, normally the rule is if you're sick, go to the hospital. Go to the doctor. But, you might call your ward elder as well. Not for medical reasons, but spiritual reasons. So that they can encourage you with this message of the gospel. That Jesus has taken your infirmities, carried your diseases, the reminder that you belong to him, and that because of him, God is using also illnesses for your good to point you to Christ and his touch of grace, to call you to live in faith and repentance, and to assure you that because the filth of sin and shortcomings is taken away by Christ, you can live at peace. Sicknesses and struggles of today are not evidence that you are forsaken by God. No, Jesus has been forsaken. You are accepted now and forever because he was regarded as a leper outside the camp. You remain in the camp. Even in those moments where perhaps you are so sick you can't actually come to church, yet you are part of the camp. You are objects of the love of God. And you can go to him with confidence, not with fear. The same letter, Hebrews, which speaks about Jesus going outside the camp, also calls us, invites us, encourages us to go right to the throne room of God. To be like that leper. Says Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near, it says. Draw near, because we have a priest. And we can go to him knowing that the way is open because of what he has done. Brothers and sisters, let that gospel keep ringing in our ears. Let it determine how we respond to illnesses and pandemics. Let it respond to, help us learn how to respond to anything that happens to us. Sometimes in the grace of God, the Lord gives healing and gives relief. But let's also be realistic. The very best cure in the world, the very best cure in the world is only good for so long. Because even this leper, he died one day. Not from leprosy, but he died. And we might get better from a sickness we have today. We might get better next week. But unless Christ returns, we will one day die. And that's why this message is a more wonderful message than a news of a cure. This is a news of eternal healing. This is news that sick people aren't merely made better. No, we get the news that sinners are made clean. Sinners beloved by God. Sinners may enter the house of God. Sinners who are called home enter the house of God. And that same God will return and give us new bodies where illness will never afflict us again. Be encouraged. And lift up your hearts. Focus on your Savior. He will dwell with them, says Revelation 21. And be their God. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying. The old order of things will pass away. Amen. Let us now in response sing from the hymn that is based on Isaiah 53 and includes the words that Matthew indicates Jesus fulfills by taking on our illnesses. Hymn 25, verses 1 and 3. Concerns that we will also remember in prayer, including Brother Peter Sibum, who's been experiencing increasing concerns with his heart in recent weeks and is on a waiting list for open heart surgery to replace a heart valve. Brother Henry Spanneman is also experiencing ongoing heart concerns. He's an appointment coming Tuesday. Also coming Tuesday, Brother John Jansen is scheduled for corrective surgery in connection with his sinuses. Let us unite in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, Lord, we call on your name as those who do live in a broken world. The world where pandemics like the Black Death have ravaged the world, many pandemics since, even today. The world, Father, where many of us also experience the very real impact of sicknesses and diseases. Lord, we are grieved when we face sicknesses and diseases, for this is not how you made things. You made things perfect and good. And Lord, we know that also these things are a result of the fall, and that because of the first sin in the beginning, the entire world is under a curse. Lord, we pray, help us to realize the full horror of sin. We realize that also the things we see happening in our world can be traced back to sin. Lord, so we pray that you help us to ask the right spiritual questions. Help us to see our sin. Lord, uncover our sins. Open our hearts. Lay them bare, for they are known to you and our lives. That we may not hide from our sins, but rather that, Lord, with them we flee to you. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible message of the gospel of a Savior who comes to us and gives us the promise of complete cleansing and redemption. Lord, where there are sins that we are hardening ourselves in, we pray, work repentance. And Lord, when we struggle with sin, and when sin deeply grieves us, we pray, give us assurance and comfort and encouragement. Help us to live in the joy of forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we pray also for those who do have health concerns. We thank you for medical care and opportunity for surgeries, and we pray also for your blessing over this work. We commend into your care our brother Peter Sebum as he awaits open heart surgery. Continue to protect him and sustain him and his loved ones. And we pray for your blessing, Father, also, that the way may be open for surgery to happen, that it may have the desired outcome. We also commend into your care brother Henry Svaneman in light of his ongoing health concerns with his heart. Sustain him too and those dear to him, and give him encouragement, and bless also medical attention and appointments. We pray also for your blessing over the surgery that brother John Jansen is scheduled to undergo in the coming week, that it may have the desired outcome and receive your blessing. Lord, we thank you also that in this way you also provide us with good medical care, but we also need your blessing on it. And as good as these things are, Father, what we need most of all is the assurance that you are with us. And so we pray, be with all of us. Also others who we may not have named but have to deal with very real sicknesses or diseases, or the frailties that come with increasing old age, as the awareness is very real that our days are numbered. Help us to be confident, knowing that we belong to Christ, our Savior, and nothing can separate us from your love for us in him. Lord, we also lay before you the needs of our country and of our world, also in light of the pandemic that continues to have a devastating impact on the lives of so many. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will also use this in your divine wisdom to cause people to look for the right solutions, but above all to cry out to you and to honour you. Heavenly Father, we pray to that end that you would bless the proclamation of the gospel. Bless the minister of this congregation, Reverend Poppy. Bless all ministers who serve our churches and all faithful servants around the world. We pray that you bless Reverend Elkmar as he continues his ministry in Albany, now that he's declined the call from the Canadian Reformed Church of Chilliwack. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would also supply this congregation in Chilliwack with a minister in due time. And we pray that too for vacant churches in our own federation, as well as those in our sister churches. Father, we also pray for our sister churches as they have to deal with the pandemic and the impact on public worship. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give encouragement, that your people may not become disheartened, but that you would also cause them to remain firm in the gospel. And if it pleases you, also give relief. To that end, we also pray for your blessing over the decisions made by the authorities. Lord, we pray that you would use them, give them wisdom and health, bless the decisions they make. We also pray for your blessing over the forthcoming election here in the state of Western Australia. Lord, we pray especially that if it pleases you, you would open paths for those who want to acknowledge you to serve. Bless in particular those in our churches who are running as candidates. Help them to give a faithful witness, and bless them also in their efforts to have a Christian voice heard in the political arena. Help all of us, Father, to be faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord, to be unafraid also to testify of the hope that we have in him, a hope not just for this life, but a hope for eternity. And so fill us with joy, not just today, but each and every day, in him, our Savior. We pray this for his sake alone. Amen. Since our Savior is at God's right hand, it is fitting that we bring him tribute in the form of our financial gifts, which can be given either at the door or electronically. As we consider our financial obligations, let us remember how the Lord instructed his Old Testament church that when they attended the religious festivals for worship, they were to do so as follows. Deuteronomy 16, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Let us now sing as our concluding song from hymn 81, the verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7, which includes the words that his blood can make the foulest clean. Receive the blessing of your heavenly high priest with the words of number 6 and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.